This morning we're going to try and finish off this Empowered series. We're going to begin a new series next Sunday, which we're looking forward to, which will flow off the back of this one really well and continue to incorporate some of the themes that we've looked at. But as we finish off this Empowered series, in many ways we hope it's just the beginning. It's opening a new chapter in hopefully our church's journey, where we see a new level of empowerment amongst the body of Christ. We see a new level of people feeling that they are moving in the gifts that God has given them. And while we might not know that all in a really comprehensive way right yet, we do hope that over the last number of weeks you've become more aware of some of the ways that you've been gifted, and that will hopefully release the body in new ways and mobilize us all as agents of the kingdom of God. Our vision as a church has always incorporated the idea of being an empowered community of people who are fulfilling their spiritual gifts to the glory of God, every member doing its bit. And so the hope is that over the last number of weeks, we've introduced some language that we'll continue to use over the years ahead, that we could all become more fluent, if you like, in how we talk about spiritual gifts, how we recognize spiritual gifts, how we call them out of one another, and how we recognize that it's not just about an individual fulfilling their spiritual gifts, but it's about the community in which they're stewarded in. And so this morning, I hope it doesn't sound too repetitive. It is going to be, in some ways, a recap of what we've looked at, as well as some other things that maybe we need to just think about as we go forward. But let me start by reading some scripture. We're going to read a passage that we have read before, but just because we've read it numerous times, Romans chapter 12, I'm going to read it in the Message this morning, and hopefully that will come to us with some fresh force this morning. Yeah, thank you. I'm getting used to using Johnny's iPad here, because when I printed my talk out this morning, I only realized when I got to church that the ink had stopped. So about the fourth page, there was not very much on it, to which all of you are saying, it would be good if you would stop at page four anyway. But anyway, here goes. Romans chapter 12, verse 4, in the Message. In this way, we are like the various parts of a human body. Each part gets its meaning from the body as a whole, not the other way around. The body we're talking about is Christ's body of chosen people. Each of us finds our meaning and function as a part of his body. But as a chopped-off finger or a cut-off toe, we wouldn't amount to much, would we? So since we find ourselves fashioned into all these excellently formed and marvelously functioning parts in Christ's body, let us go ahead and be what we were made to be, without enviously or pridefully comparing ourselves with each other or trying to be something we aren't. If you preach, just preach God's message, nothing else. If you help, just help, don't take over. If you teach, stick to your teaching. If you give encouraging guidance, be careful that you don't get bossy. If you're put in charge, don't manipulate. If you're called to give aid to people in distress, keep your eyes open and be quick to respond. If you work with a disadvantage, don't let yourself get irritated with them or depressed by them. Keep a smile on your face. Love from the center of who you are, don't fake it. Run for dear life from evil and hold on for dear life to good. Be good friends who love deeply. Practice playing second fiddle. Don't burn out. Keep yourselves fueled and aflame. Be alert, servants of the Master, cheerfully expectant. Don't quit in hard times, but pray all the harder. Help needy Christians. Be inventive in hospitality. Bless your enemies. No cursing under your breath. Get along with each other. Don't be stuck up. Make friends with nobodies. Don't be the great somebody. Don't hit back. Discover beauty in everyone. If you've got it in you, get along with everybody. Don't insist on getting even. That's not for you to do. I'll do the judging, says God. I'll take care of it. Our scriptures tell us that if you see your enemy hungry, go buy that person lunch. Or if he's thirsty, get him a drink. Your generosity will surprise him with goodness. Don't let evil get the best of you. Get the best of evil by doing good. It's such a beautiful passage of scripture, and I love Eugene Peterson's translation of it. It sets the tone for the type of community God is looking for us to become. And we'll reference that as we go through this morning. So let me just remind you of some of the things that hopefully we've learned along the way, and pray as we do that the Holy Spirit will seal them in our hearts and imprint them across our lives. Let's remember first and foremost that we have natural gifts, we have acquired gifts, and we have spiritual gifts. We've all been created by God for his purposes, and this involves all sorts of natural abilities that many of us have. We've been uniquely created by God, fearfully and wonderfully made, each of us, with lots of natural abilities and acquired abilities. That's why it's possible, I believe, when you see somebody who's not a Christian doing something, that even still can point you to our Maker, because you can see on their life an ability to do something that God has given them, and it looks God-given. They obviously can do lots of things, particularly if they're not Christians, that don't look God-given, because like all of us, they're born in sin. But I think we can see God's image-bearing stamp on people. But the level to which these natural abilities become spiritual abilities depends on how much you have brought your natural abilities under the lordship of Jesus Christ, right? So when we bring the personality traits or the gifts that we naturally almost are gifted with under the lordship of Jesus, we give our lives to Jesus and we surrender all that we have to him. Jesus redeems these gifts and uses them for his glory, to do the work of the ministry, to do the work that God calls us to do. Each of us in the spheres of influence he's called us to, and within the body of Christ, the Holy Spirit, if we allow him, incorporates and sanctifies all of our lives, all of our gifts, our personality for his good. He takes our natural and acquired gifts and helps us to do that and to use them for his glory. But on top of that, and I guess this is what we really wanted this whole series to be about, on top of that, what we are saying is that the Holy Spirit, through the Holy Spirit, we are given what we might describe as charis. In the Greek is the word for gift or grace. That's the word that the Bible uses. We are given spiritual grace that comes from God to do things to build up the church and to win the world for his glory. Charis means gift or grace from God. And it gets on this idea that God bestows us or endows us, distributes divine gifting upon us, not for ourselves, but on behalf of others and for the building up of others. And so our natural talents, I believe, can become charisms if there's an openness upon the Spirit, or sorry, if there's an openness to the Spirit to come and breathe on our gifts that he's given us. But we want you to become aware that even as you give your whole life to Jesus, and as you give your natural abilities that he's created you with to him, that there are spiritual gifts that the Holy Spirit wants to bestow upon you to do the work of the ministry. So that's the first thing that we really want to seal in our learning. The second thing, I guess, we've wanted to get across is, now that we know that, hopefully, what are you going to do? What am I going to do? So if you're sitting here right now and you're going, even after all this series, I don't think I've got a gift. There's no real easy way to say this, but you're believing a lie from hell about your life. And we want to break that lie in the name of Jesus, because we believe, as we'll see in these scriptures that we're going to read, everyone has been given something by Jesus. And so the question is, what will you do with what you've been given? This is what Jesus described in the parable of the talents in Matthew chapter 25. This is the question that is being asked. What will you do with what you've been given? The question is not, why have I just got this and why have they got that? Or why did I not get? That's not the question. That's the enemy's type of questions. God's question to you is, what will you do with what you've been given? What are you going to do? And so we're really praying that you've been stirred and provoked and challenged in the right sense of the word by what the Lord wants to say to us this morning. And so after saying that, then we've also said, if we start to posture ourselves in a way to say, yes, Lord, you've created me and you've endowed me with spiritual gifts and I'm curious about what they are and I want to give them back to you, then there's some things that we need to bear in mind. We need to bear in mind that first and foremost, these gifts are Jesus-centered. These gifts should always look like Jesus and they should be almost demonstrated in the spirit of Jesus. And if they don't lead to people thinking about Jesus, then they're probably not spiritual gifts. They're something else. The second thing that we need to remember is that these gifts, we understand these gifts in the context of unity and diversity. Listen to this scripture again from 1 Corinthians 12. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God. See the way it says different and same, different and same, different and same. That's diversity in unity. And then it says, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. God wants to pour out his Spirit in such a way that we all reflect who he is, a beautiful unity in diversity. There is a sense in which these gifts are all in part. They're all in part. We only fully understand and know and will function and flourish in our gifts when we realize that they only come to bear fruit fully when they're in community with other people, when the body is all working together. Phil often says, all of us are smarter than one of us. It's terrible English, but it's pretty good preaching, as he likes to say. Yeah, but all of us are smarter than just one of us, right? So there's something about understanding the gifts in this context of unity and diversity that's really, really important. And it's really important that we celebrate that and live into the kind of creative tension of that as we go forward. Mutual submission follows on from this nicely, that the foundation of these gifts is built upon agape love. It's built upon self-giving, sacrificial love. Each one has been given grace just as Christ apportioned it. So that means there can be no room for competitiveness in the body of Christ, or there shouldn't be. Inevitably, it'll come because we're all broken people, susceptible in that kind of way. But we submit our gifts to one another for the honoring of one another and the building up of the body of Christ. And then, following on from that, we have this inversion of hierarchy, which means like it flips the way the world works when it comes to power. It tells us, again in 1 Corinthians 12, that the parts that we think are less honorable, we actually treat with special or more honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while the presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. Right? So we need to honor the gifts that are less seen, the parts of the body that are less presentable. We make more presentable. And then we've learned that the divine ordering of the gifts is really important as well. 1 Corinthians 12, that while all the gifts are equal and no gift should be in one way elevated more than the other gift, we should also remember that there are certain gifts that in some way need to lead the way because they help create space for all the other gifts to come into place. We'll talk about this in a moment or two, that some gifts are more community-orientated, leadership gifts, than individually maybe orientated. And that's really, really important for us. And that is important for me just to stress that, because the way we make decisions and the way we think about vision and the way we think strategically ties into our understanding of this. And then finally, all true spirituality is a life of love. And so I'm bracketing all that we've done on the spiritual gifts with the opening bracket of it's all Jesus-centered, and the closing bracket is True spirituality is a life of love. And everything we've learned about the spiritual gifts has to be understood within these contexts. And so, with that in mind, then, we taught you what the spiritual gifts were and are. Have we got the matrix, Johnny? No, it's okay. Don't worry. We've taught through all the different spiritual gifts that are in the Bible from the four different passages. And it's been wonderful to see different people stand when we stopped after different gifts as language, hopefully, and hopefully by the Spirit of God, you became to resonate with certain gifts and to be able to pray for people. And so I hope that that's really helped. We hope that that's really helped as we go forward for you to understand more and more ways in which you're uniquely gifted by God. But just for those of us who are still trying to work that out, let me remind you of some of the ways that you know where your spiritual gifts might lie or where God is calling you to. The first one is this. Where am I most frustrated? Over the years of leading in church, there's an awful lot of people, quite a few people come to you over the years and go, do you know what? It's not right that this is happening in our community. And the church should be doing something about this. And they just walk themselves into a brilliant conversation. Because you just literally go, well, that's you. You're the church, aren't you? And God has obviously given you a burden about it. And you obviously feel frustrated about it. So very gently, can I turn this conversation back around and go, what are you going to do about it? Because often the place where you feel most frustrated is the place where you're most called. Often the place where you feel most, this keeps me awake at night. I get almost righteously angry about the fact that this is happening. This shouldn't be happening. This shouldn't be happening to kids in our city or our community. This homeless problem shouldn't be happening. The way the education system is, this shouldn't be. No, all of us have got that thing. And what I would really encourage you to do is to lean into that frustration in a way that says, God, what do you want me to do and be about it? It's that whole Gandhi kind of phrase, wasn't it? Be the change that you want to see. What are we willing to do with the burdens and frustrations that God has placed in our heart? So what are you most frustrated about? Secondly, what keeps following you? In other words, what do you keep finding yourself doing or helping people in? That's a great way to understand where you might be gifted. Do you find yourself just generally taking ownership or leadership of situations? That's potentially because you've got a gift of leadership. Do you find yourself almost just ending up in quite deep conversations with people where they tell you part of their problems and maybe even specific problems keep following in you? That's probably a sign that you're gifted in some areas around mercy and encouragement and exhortation. There might be a sense in which you just almost get a feeling or a sense that something isn't right or some advice needs to be given or some counsel is needed. And that's potentially because you've got a gift of discernment or prophecy. What keeps following you? And as you look back over your life, John Thompson has that great little phrase, to join the dots up. How have you kept finding yourself orientated towards helping others? This is a great way to think about your spiritual gifts. Thirdly, where do you find joy? What are the things that you actually really like doing that others maybe don't as much? And then fourthly, one of the best ways to understand where you're gifted is to realize where you're not. Yeah? And sometimes that takes a bit of courage. But rather than trying to squeeze yourself into a particular gift because you want to look like you're willing to serve, take some time to think through what actually, when you do it, does not bring joy and does not release energy off around on you and probably is not really like helping other people that much either. That doesn't mean that we get to abdicate responsibility, but equally it means we can stop doing the things that don't bring us joy. Let me give you this example. In Acts chapter 19, this is the Apostle Paul. This is a little story about the Apostle Paul, which I can find quite amusing. It says this in verses 5 to 8. So when Silas and Timothy came from Macedonia, Paul devoted himself exclusively to preaching. So he's in a particular season where he's like, this is what I'm graced to do. I'm going to preach. I need to preach, testifying to the Jews that Jesus was the Messiah. But when they opposed him, when they opposed Paul and became abusive, he shook out his clothes in protest and said to them, "Your blood be on your heads. I am innocent of it. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles." Then Paul left the synagogue and went next door to the house of Titus, a worshiper of God. And Crispus, the synagogue leader, and his entire household believed in the Lord, and many of the Corinthians who heard Paul believed and were baptized. What's going on here? Paul has realized, even though he knew that what he needed to do first and foremost was preach to the Jews, he didn't have loads of grace for it. So what did he do? He went next door. He just went next door and started preaching next door, because he knew that the grace of God was on him, was on to preach to the Gentiles. Now, he knew that what he should do was follow the scriptural pattern and preach to the Jews, but he knew the grace of God that was particularly on him was for the Gentiles. Peter had probably more grace to preach to the Jews. Paul knew his grace was to preach to the Gentiles. And therefore, they needed to work together, which had its tensions, right? Which we'll get into in a little moment before we finish here. It's had its tensions, but they had to work together in order to be the body working all together. Sometimes working out where you're not gifted, or where you're not seeing breakthrough, or where you're not helping anyone, never mind yourself, because it's doing your head and trying to do something that you don't feel that gifted in, then sometimes it's better just to own that. And it's actually quite freeing and releasing to know where God has actually called you to do. Let me caveat all of those things with some things as we kind of close this series out. I think this is not, there's not chapter and verse for all of this, so this is more wisdom, hopefully, than it is prescriptive, so take it and muse on it. I think often you have probably one or two primary gifts, which are then supplemented by others, that you operate mostly in one or two primary gifts, and then you find yourself moving in others that supplement that gift. I think at many times, I think as a church, we probably personally believe many of the gifts of the Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12, are available to us and used in different ways at different seasons. But I think we often will operate out of one or two gifts primarily, of which they would be supplemented with others. So when you're having conversation in life groups, or you're having conversation with us, think about it in that way. Try to identify what those primary gifts might be. Secondly, hopefully this has come through a lot, but our character always trumps gifting. It's really important to earnestly desire our gift, but work on your character and sharpen your gift. Okay? Work as much on your character as you do your gift. I love this verse from Psalm 78, verse 72, where it talks about David. It says, David shepherded the people with an integrity of heart and with skillfulness of hands. Okay? So integrity of heart and skillfulness of hands. That's character and gifting. And I want to encourage us to work on both of those. Our spiritual formation, how we're becoming like Christ, how we're reacting more like Christ in the everyday, how we're constantly repenting and being accountable and allowing our minds to be renewed by the Spirit daily as we get in the Word of God. Work on that and then sharpen our gifts. Thirdly, earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, but don't define yourself by your gift, okay? So really work hard to earnestly desire the gifts and to become more aware of them, but don't necessarily define yourself by them, because then your identity gets caught up in your gift rather than your identity being a son and daughter of God, right? And I really want to encourage us to make sure that we get that balance right. You're more than your gift. You're far too mysterious. You're far too more unique. You're far too kind of, each of us, we're all too kind of weird and wonderful ways just to be defined by a gift that we do. Make sure that our identity is purely in our sonship in the Father through Jesus, and earnestly desire the gifts. The other thing I want to say is certain gifts, I think, are for certain seasons and for certain assignments. I have found over the years that the different gifts that God has given me, is some of them come to the fore in seasons or for particular assignments that I've been led into more than others. And that's where we need wisdom. That's where we need the counsel of the Lord. Wisdom is such an underrated thing in the body of Christ. But in the Old Testament, there is a whole genre of the Bible that is wisdom. And somebody once said it to me, like, if the law is like the ABCs of what it is to be a follower of God in the Old Testament, the wisdom literature is like the grammar that helps put it together. It fills in the parts that we need in context to understand. And that's why we need the wisdom of God is found in the body of Christ. We often say it, that the mind of Christ is not in a leader, but in the body of Christ. And so we need wisdom to understand where different gifts and graces come to the fore in different seasons of our lives. And we want, I desire that we grow in wisdom and the counsel of God as a body of Christ here. And we'll do that as we submit to one another. And then I want to also just touch for a moment or two before we finish on this whole idea of gift tension, which John Thompson, who's with us over the next couple of days, has been really helpful thoughts around. We have tension in the body of Christ, a gift tension, he calls it, for a few different reasons. Sometimes gift tension arises when there's wrong expectations or assumptions that we make that everybody should have the same passion we do about the things that we feel passionate about. But if the body of Christ is made up, as the Bible tells us, of all of these different gifts, then the passion of God goes in all of those different directions. Does that make sense? And so therefore, if it's going in all those different directions, it doesn't even make sense that everybody should be as passionate about you, about the thing that you feel passionate about. That is a more immature response, often that comes out of the place of feeling maybe a sense that we need to be seen or noticed or understood. It's often a deeper thing that the Lord maybe wants to do with us or about our identity. There's also sometimes tension between the fact, which is connected to the point I've just made, that sometimes certain gifts are so individually focused, while other gifts are more community focused. So some people in this room get up every morning when they think about church, they think about individuals. They naturally go to need and pain in people's lives and individuals who need. And then other people get up in the morning, they think about the whole church. And it's not an either or. It's a both and. We need all of those things working together if we're going to see the Lord move in the ways that we want them to. Gift tension reminds us that we're part of an organism. We're neither independent actors nor merely dependent parts, but we are interdependent. The rest of the church needs us as much as we need the rest of the church. There can also be tension between the gifts. Gift tension can arise when you're doing something with your gift that doesn't best serve the audience, or you're doing something because you think you're gifted in something where you're potentially not, and then other people aren't receiving the benefit of that. So can we make it a goal here that we will lovingly speak the truth and love to one another? Is that okay? Like, that we will help one another find our gifts. Like, it will probably not come to the point that Stephen McIntyre is leading worship up here some morning, right? Maybe. In the same way that it probably will never come to the point where I will lead the creche ministry or something like that, right? Because I'm just using silly examples to try and say, often we try to squeeze ourselves into roles where if we don't have the courage to speak the truth in love, you know, everybody's going to go home and have a chat about it over dinner on Sunday, rather than actually tell the truth in love, in order for everybody to be fully released into who God has called them to be. So let's do that with gentleness, but let's have it a goal to have the long coffees or the long chats into the wee hours of the night with one another in order to deal with all the nuance and the layers of how we can see people fully released. Because it's not as easy as just filling out a diagnostic and going, right, that's them, That's their gift. We'll get them going. We come with all our brokenness, all our sin, all the beauty and mystery of who we are. And together, in the wisdom of God, this is why wisdom is so important. In the wisdom of God, as we count in the council of elders, that we discern the will of the Lord for one another and we release each other into our gifts. And then finally, we want to encourage you to grow in your gift. How do you do that? Well, we're back to that question. What are you going to do with what you've been given? You go and invest in it, like the parable of the talents teaches us. So you submit it onto the Lord. You submit it onto the body of Christ together. And then I would encourage you to think about the ways that you can invest in that. We want to say as elders, as we kind of come to the end of this series, that we are open to conversation with you. We're open to journeying this out with you. We would love our life groups to be places where we call that gift out. In your Friday email this week, there was a link to just a short form with a few questions. And we'd love it if you'd take the time just to fill that in. And it asks you some questions about what have you discovered about your gifts and what do you feel God has called you. And I think the more that we can just pour over that material a little bit as elders and see that, the more then we feel that we can enter into good conversation with you about how we can see more and more people released. Because we want to see this city of ours rewritten, don't we? We've heard about how people are stepping into their gift in the form of the food bank and things like that already this morning. There's so many other things. We need to see things strengthened in this church over the next number of years as we want to grow. Over the next number of months, we have incredibly strong gifts and mercy and helps and giving and encouragement, as Diane mentioned earlier, when we see people stand. But we need more gifts. We need more leadership amongst our young people. We need more leadership amongst our kids. We need more power gifts released. We need to see more people moving in gifts of evangelism. We need to see more people moving in gifts of faith and miracles and prophecy. There's lots of room here for everybody to play their part if we want to see the body mobilized in such a way that's not just a healthy body that sits there or stands there or whatever and looks nice, but actually moves and operates in such a way that it draws more people in. And that's only ever going to work if everybody plays their part. Paul said to the Corinthians as a finish, 1 Corinthians 4, verse 1 to 2, as servants of Christ and as those entrusted with the mysteries God has revealed, now it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. We've been entrusted. There's a few questions that I think Jesus will want to ask us all when we stand before him. I think one of the first ones will be, did you love me? And then I think coming in behind that, probably close second or third, will be this question. What did you do with what you've been given? How did you use what I had given you to fulfill what I created you to be and to give it away on behalf of others to extend the kingdom of God? And I really want to pray as we close off today that the Holy Spirit will continue not to allow us just to close this series off and almost close a chapter, but rather turn a page and open a whole new chapter where the gifts of the Spirit, the gifts of the Father, and the gifts of the Son are all stirred up in us and amongst us. Can I pray for us as we close out? Would you stand to your feet if that's all right? And then we're going to pray for Chris before we close. The series that we're going to start next week is called This is the Air We Breathe. We're going to be looking at the church in Acts and the community of faith there and how normal, ordinary men and women join together in the bond of the Spirit, how they literally help begin a movement that has changed the world. And it only happened through a community of people who were empowered agents of the kingdom, moving in the gifts. And so I'm excited about how we move forward in this. But I want to pray for that this morning. If you're comfortable, you don't have to do this, but if you're comfortable, why don't you just hold out your hands as a sign of receiving from the Holy Spirit, just a fresh infilling deposit of the Spirit just coming upon us. Remember, the Spirit is in us through Jesus, but he comes upon us for others. And so, Lord, as we wait on you in these moments afresh, Holy Spirit, would you come? Would you take all of the learning over the last number of weeks and, God, seal it as a deposit in this body, in this house. I pray, Lord, that we would just recognize in these moments the treasure, God, the treasure of heaven that you have placed in your body. Stewards of the mysteries of God which have been entrusted to us. And Lord, I just really want to ask that you would stir these gifts. You would bring insight and wisdom over the coming season. That you would bring opportunity to serve. That you would open up doors, Lord, to serve in new ways. Just believe that even in the next wee while, some of us are going to have open doors to walk through. God, as you lean further into this, God is in the waiting. He's expanding your character. He's deepening your capacity. And he's stirring up the gifts so that in the days ahead there will be opportunities to serve. So God, I just really want to pray and say yes and amen to all that you're doing. And pray that you, breath of God, that you would come and breathe upon each one here. Servants of God, entrusted with mysteries to bring about your kingdom. I just also have a real sense this morning before we close, as we stand here, just with our eyes closed for a moment. On the way over on the car this morning, Finn was with me in the front and he said, "Dad, I feel like a knocking in my heart." And when he said it to me, I'm not sure quite where it came from, but I felt like the Lord wanted me to give an opportunity this morning for somebody here who hasn't fully opened the door of their heart to Jesus this morning. And even now as I say these words, you feel your heart going quicker, almost beating harder, because Jesus is standing at the door of your heart. And he's knocking. And he's asking you, "Can I come in?" And if you're here this morning and you know that you need to open that door to Jesus, I just want to encourage you to say this prayer where you're standing. Lord Jesus, thank you that you love me. Thank you that you came to show me your love and to die on the cross for my sins. And so right now I receive your invitation to come into my life, to forgive my sins, and to be Lord of my life. Make a new start in me today. Jesus.